My name is Bill Smith, and I love the Lord. And I might do a little something different this morning than what you're used to. I mean, I have a lot on my mind this morning, and I've been thinking about a lot of things. And I'll just take this time to express those things to me. I'm so happy that Pastor Nash called me from Raleigh about 3 weeks ago. And he said, Brother Smith, he said, I wondered if you would say something to encourage my congregation, and I would just love to have you. And I said, well, hey, ain't no way in the world I'm going to turn that down. So that's why I'm here this morning. I love the Lord, and I just want to ask a couple of questions right now. And that is, when you first came to the Lord Jesus Christ, what was your expression? How did you feel? I just wondered this morning if you have the zeal that you had when you first gave your life to the Lord. Amen. And I'd like you to hold up your hands if you still have that zeal, because you see, we get kind of complacent in our time and our life through the years. I'll say this. I am 93 years old, but I still love the Lord, and I give my life to the Lord a lot of years ago, before a lot of you were born. So I just like to know if that zeal is still on fire in your life this morning. And if it is, well, then that's a good sign right there. I'd like to talk to you about salvation this morning, and what the magnitude of what salvation is all about. Because a lot of us think that, well, if I keep the Ten Commandments, I'm okay, because I'm pretty good. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have no way of having any kind of righteousness to warrant God loving you like He does. He loves you in spite of all the things that you've done in your life. And I want to tell you about some of those things in a few minutes. And my message this morning is on the Romans road to begin with. And then I'd like to go to the seventh chapter of Romans. And then I'd like to end up on the eighth chapter of Romans. The reason why that I'm doing this is because you have to understand seven before you can get what eight is saying. So I want to go through the Romans road. I love Romans. You know, there's enough scripture in Romans to save the world if we would just be attentive to what the Word is saying to us, and how it is blessing us on a daily basis. God is so good to us, more than we could ever deserve. Because when we came into this world with the Adamic nature of Adam. There's none righteous, and I'd like to take you through that road and let you see just what God has furnished for us, and how He loved us so. We look at Romans 3, 10 and 23, first of all. And before I do this, I have it on my heart. Now, I like to sing. So I'm going to sing a song here for you, and I'm going to try to get you in the mood of what Christianity is all about. And it's, the name of the song is "Till the Storm Passes By." So, and there's a lot of storms in our lives, but you know, God didn't promise us that it was going to be peaches and cream every day. There's going to be times in our lives that we're going to have to stand on His promises, and we're going to have to take the bitter with the sweet. But that's all in God's plan. And you know, that's one of the reasons we go through these trials and tribulations. It's designed for a purpose, and that's to make us more dependable upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if we had it every day, peaches and cream and everything, man, we wouldn't give Him the praise that He's deserving of. So when we come into this world, we come in here with the Adamic nature of Adam, and none of us have anything to offer, but God just loved us so. So we start out with this song here about "Till the Storm Passes By." Now, I'm not a real good singer, but I pray that you listen to the words of the song. Because sometimes I get kind of carried away when I sing. So you bear with me. Till the storm keeps on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Yet the hope that lies within me is reassured as I keep my eyes upon that distant shore. I know that He has prepared a place for me. And if the storm don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. Though the storm keeps on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, yet the hope that lies within me is reassured as I keep my eyes upon that distant shore. I know that He has prepared a place for me. And if the storm don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. Now let's get into the Romans road. Romans 3, 10 and 23. There's none righteous, no, not one, not even one. There isn't anything that you brought to the table to warrant God loving you as He loves you. But none of you, you ain't got nothing, none that understands. So then we go on to Romans 5 and 8. God commended His love towards us, and that while we're in that condition, He loves us in spite of that. He commended His love towards us. And He's done a whole lot of things. There's so many things that I could say this morning about what He's done, but I'm just going to use a few because I don't have all that much time. But my heart is full this morning. I'm so happy that Brother Nash called me and asked me to stand in his stead. And I try to do that on a daily basis, not just on Sunday morning, but all week long. You see, God expects that. We're prone to do that. I mean, that's just out of gratitude of what Christ has done for us in His life, and He's done so much for us. And I pray this morning that you realize what we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know how He can be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't know how He can do that, but God said it, I believe it, that settles it. So we go on and look at Romans 6 and 23. Now what does Romans 6 and 23 tell us? The wages of sin is death. Now what is that saying? Most of you out there are old enough to have had a job, and you know that when you work on a job, you're expecting to get paid. Well, the same principle applies to this 6 and 23. The wages of sin is death. In other words, if you stay in the sinful condition that you were born in, and that is the Adamic nature of Adam, you will go to hell. There's no other way that you can get. And a lot of people think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I believe in the Ten Commandments, and I try to live a life according to the Ten Commandments, but let me tell you one thing. There ain't no way, Jose, that you can keep the Ten Commandments. Because you see, if you just fall out on just one of them, you have broke all of them. And on top of that, hey, there's 613 commandments and laws. We got the moral law. You know what that is. And then we got the Abraham law and all of these different laws that the Lord has given us, and we can't keep anything. So we're going to take a look at Romans 10:9, and this is where most of you probably have met the Lord. Romans 10:9, what does it say? If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised his Son from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say anything. It says thou shalt be saved. God's word is true. God's word is never going to change for anybody. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So now that we know how God has planned salvation for us, that the Roman roses showed us that we must be born again, we take a look at another scripture that will kind of help us understand that, and that is Galatians 2:20. And what does Galatians 2:20 say? Does anybody happen to know what Galatians 2:20 says? Anybody at all? See, Christians ought to know some of this because 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed. So if we study in God's word and we looking into the scriptures, we all of us ought to know what Galatians 2:20 says. Can anybody repeat that for me? I mean, all of these things ought to be hid within our hearts so that when we go out to witness to others, we can use these scriptures in order to bring about maybe salvation. That's what God expects us to do, to go out into the highways and byways. Galatians 2:20. You know, I know my wife can do that. Come on, Sister Smith, tell me what Galatians 2:20 says. You have to speak up. You know I'm kind of hard of hearing. Right, right. Okay. Well, now knowing that, shouldn't we be about God's business not only on Sunday morning, but all week long? And I want to get you now, I want you to listen to this real closely, and I want you to, when you go home, to read these two chapters, chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Romans, because it's so enlightening to you. There's so much into it, and the 7 will kind of lead you into to 8 to where you know. Because each one of you ought to know, once you've been born again, and you know old Nicodemus, he went to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, you're a teacher from God. And he said, and how can you do all these miracles that you do unless God be with you? And guess what Jesus told him? He said, you must be born again. All right, and he said, how's that happen? You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. The water represents your relationship with Jesus Christ and your the way that you are attached to Him. And the Spirit is what we're going to talk about in 8 in just a minute there. But you see, a lot of people say, I'm a person that has been going to the prison for 18 years, and I asked the prisoners, if you was to die right now, what would happen to you? Where would you spend eternity at? There's only two places that you can spend eternity, and that's either in heaven or in hell. And it'd be a shame to wake up when you die and stand before a holy and just God, and he'd tell you, hey, I don't even know who you are, buddy. And he's got a little trapdoor over here. He just slides you right on down into hell. So Nicodemus was the ruler of the Jews, and he knew some of the laws and all of that, but he still couldn't understand how in the world that he could be born again. And you know, the scriptures tell us we must be holy because he is holy. And how are we going to do that? Since we come into the world, we didn't come into here with no credentials, no nothing. And the Ten Commandments was only given to those that didn't know nothing about what truth and the truth of the word was. So that's what the Ten Commandments was given for, so that they would know what was right and what was wrong. So the other laws were just falling into place, and there's 613 in all of them. So he couldn't keep actually none of them. So, but God did what? He imputed his righteousness into your account and made you holy, because you want to be as holy as I am. And that's how that we can be holy as he is. Now, 7 also tells us about how we are adopted into the family of God. And that is by not keeping up with the Joneses and the Smiths and the what have you, and keeping yourself up to date with all of what the world is doing. But when you try to please the flesh, you're not in sync with God. And the Word of God tells me that if you continue to stay in that position that you're in, what you're born with, there's no way that you can get to heaven. But you see, God imputes his righteousness into your account, and that makes you holy, because as you be holy as I am holy. That's the only way that we can be holy. We kill God in his death, burial, and resurrection, got rid of the sin situation in our body. We are no longer we're no longer a person that is dependent upon the flesh. And a lot of people think that if they get everything that pleases their body and pleases their flesh, that everything is doing okay. Whatever I do, it's all right, because it makes me feel good. And if it makes you feel good, there's no way that you can enter into the kingdom of God by allowing yourself to be led by the dictates of the flesh instead of the dictates of the Holy Spirit, because God has imputed his righteousness in you. So if God has put his righteousness into your body, how in the world can you do anything that's wrong? You can grieve the Holy Spirit from time to time, but there's no way that you can lose your salvation. And there's a lot of people that teach us, well, hey, you can lose your salvation. Ain't no way, because there ain't no way that you did anything to earn salvation. It's a gift from God. And that's what we really have to be thinking about, not just on Sunday morning, my friends, but every day in our life. You must be, and we are prone to doing those things that pleases the flesh. Look around. Look around. Look what the world... Hey, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we must do the things that the dictates of the Holy Spirit leads us to do. When we follow the dictates of the Holy Spirit, and there's just no way that we can do anything that would be contrary to God's word. So we must learn how to use what God has given us, not just on Sunday mornings for an hour, but all week long, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We must listen to what the Word of God tells us. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study, and we need to do that, because that is just like you driving your car to a filling station, and when it gets close to out of gas, that you filling the tank up with gas so that you can go farther. That's the same principle with studying God's word. You're to study God's word, because in God's word it strengthens you. Offenses are going to come in your life regardless of whether you're saved or unsaved, because the devil is going to be after you. And then too, you see, we wrestle against flesh and blood all all the time. The flesh is wrestling with the spirit, telling the spirit, well, hey, I want to do this because it makes me feel good. And just because you feel good doesn't mean that it's right with the Lord. So you must be born again. That's what Nicodemus asked God. And he said, hey, if you want to see the kingdom and you want to see my Father, and you see, the only way that we can do that is to be obedient to what God is telling us in his word. Because the old flesh is hostile against the spirit all the time. It's wrestling with it, because when you want to do good, evil is always present in order to take a offense to you and what you stand for. And we need to be about God's business every day of the week. That's what he tells us in Matthew 28. Go you therefore into all the world and teaching and preaching what thus saith the Lord. That's what we're commanded. We're commanded to do that because we have Christ living in us. And if we're going to be holy as he is holy, you can't do it by yielding to the flesh. Because when you yield to the flesh, and it tells you right there in 7, that if you yield to the flesh constantly over and over and over and over again, you don't belong to him. There's no place for you. And when you stand before him, you know what he's going to say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So I just take a great pleasure in standing before you this morning. It's a pleasure for me to stand here and talk to you. I'm a little bit nervous because it's been a good little while since I stood on the pulpit and talked. But I used to do this every other Thursday at the jail and telling those inmates, because see, God loves you in spite of what you have done. When he died on that cross, he died for every one of your sins, past, present, and future. The sin problem is not an issue anymore because the flesh is dead. The flesh is dead to sin. God has imputed his righteousness, so that makes you just like him. There's no way that you can ever lose your salvation, but you grieve in the Holy Spirit. We do that all the time. And just to come here on Sunday morning and listen to the minister preach for an hour or so and then go out and forget about what your life, what you're supposed to do in life, well then, hey, that's not going to get you any crowns in glory. And that's what we're looking for, those things that's going to be able to last when we get to glory. Only the things that we do for him are going to last. Those things that we do to please this flesh over here are going to burn like you wouldn't believe. So we must be about God's business. And I just praise God for allowing me to stand here. I kind of stuttered a little bit and what have you, but I pray that I've gotten the truth over to you as to what God is expecting us. He's expecting us to live a life that's different from the world. I'd just like to ask you a question. Does your life represent being associated with Christ on a daily basis and emulating him in your life? How is your life on a daily basis? Do you study God's word? Do you go out into the highway? I never fail. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't tell somebody about Christ. I don't care who it is I'm walking to. I ask him, hey, are you a Christian? Do you belong to any church someplace? Or what's your belief in? Where will you spend eternity at if you was to die right now? You know, death is just a breath away. I mean, you don't have to be sick to die. You can just, hey, I remember one time when I was working at the post office in Indianapolis, and a guy was walking down the street, and he was just minding his own business, and all of a sudden, he just collapsed. Had a massive heart attack and died right on the spot, right in front of our eyes. We were watching him, and he was just as gay as he could be. But when this body... And God calls for you to come home. Hey, you going whether you want. You cannot say, hey, wait just a minute. I need to do this and do that before I go. No, it behooves you to be ready to meet your master whenever you leave here, because death is going to come. And the thing about it is, The finished work is already done. All we have to do is to die and catch up with what God has already. And that's why I'm so happy this morning that God has made it clear to us where we're going to spend eternity. You don't have to be guessing that, and you don't have to say, well, hey, I keep the Ten Commandments. I try to keep them. I try to live good. There's a whole lot of good people that's going to hell. We simply because we as Christians are not doing the job that God called us to do. And that's to go out in the highways and byways and compel people about what Jesus said. That's the reason why all of these things are happening all over. Look out there and see what's going on. Kids are telling their parents what to do, killing people. Look what happened a couple of months ago when all of those 3,000 people died in the earthquake. All of these things has happened. Look out there in California and see all the snow. God is sick and tired of Christians supposed to be Christians and not living the life that they're supposed to live. We're supposed to be about his business. That's why all these things are happening, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. If we did what we were supposed to do, there would be a whole lot more people saved. Straight is the way, but narrow is the gate, and few shall enter therein. If you, it ain't no, well, I'm going to do it my way, like Frank Sinatra said. It ain't no such thing as that, because Frank Sinatra, I don't know where he's at now, but if he did it his way, he's in hell. There ain't no ifs and ands and buts. It's cut and dried, brothers and sisters. This ain't no plaything. Hey, we're living in the last days, and we've been living in the last days for a long time. But, I mean, it could happen before I leave this pulpit. Amen. Amen. God is going to judge us on the things that we've done and the obedience. He woke me up about 8-10 months ago, and he referred me to the 5th chapter of Hebrews, the ninth verse. And he told me, he said, William, you just be obedient to what I told you to do. If you're going to be obedient, that's the way your children should be to you, because you're the parent, but it's altogether different now. The children are telling the parents what to do, and the parents are wanting to go out and get what pleases them and what feels good to them. And you're going to feel good right into hell with those things that you're doing to please the body, because the body is hostile with the spirit. And we must get that in our head. And I want you to read 7 and 8. And it will tell you the same things that I'm trying to tell you now, that you must be born again. You must be a change in your life. You cannot take the body that you were born with to heaven. It's not going to go. It's only the body that we have is designed for a purpose. Guess what that purpose is? It's to carry your soul. When God, the Godhead, made man, he reached down and molded the dirt and everything, and that dirt was still dirt until he did what? He breathed the breath of life into that dirt, and it became what? A living soul. So the soul is going to go somewhere. This body that we have that you're so anxious to please and what have you is going to go right back to the dirt from whence it's come. That's all it is designed to do, is to carry the soul, the spirit that God has given us, and we're to obey that spirit. And when we do that and be obedient to what he tells us to do, there's no way in the world that you're not going to stand before him, and he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on up a little. I got some things for you. You know what he's doing right now? He's preparing the place for us. And it's, and so if remember that song I sang, if the wind don't cease, well, he's the same principle with him. When we do something that's contrary to what we're supposed to be doing, he stands in our stead before the Father, and he says, hey, I died for that sin. For every last one of his sins, past, present, and future, he belongs to me. He's in the family of the Savior now. He belongs to me, and there's no way that I'm going to forsake him. I promised him that I'd be with him through the thick and thin until the end. So we don't have to worry about losing our salvation. We need to worry about whether we are in sync with the Spirit, and we're being led by the dictates of the Spirit, because the Spirit is not going to ever lead you any place that it can't keep you. I thank God for you this morning. I thank you for your attendance this morning. And I have a song here that I know this is a little bit out of your character here, but I have a song here that I want you to think about as I sing this song, because it means a whole lot to me. And the name of this song is "It's in My Heart, It Should Be in Your Heart." We, like I asked you a while ago, you should be grateful to the Lord for what He's prepared for us. There's no other way that we could ever get to heaven other than the way that He has prepared for us. And I'm so grateful for that. And the song, like I said, is in my heart. And pray with me as I try to sing this. Listen to the words and be blessed by what I'm trying to say. Though some may sing to pass the weary nights alone, though some may sing to entertain a worldly throng, I sing because I worship God in song. It's in my heart, it's in my heart. You ask me why, I know His blood can cleanse alone. You ask me why, I know He sits upon the throne, and why I know He chose me for His own. It's in my heart, it's in my heart. You ask me how I find the time to read and pray. You ask me how I smile when things go far from wrong, and how He sings His praises come what may. It's in my heart, it's in my heart. I may not know the skillful use of tongue and pen to prove my Lord returned to unbelieving men, but this I know, He's coming back again. It's in my heart, it's in my heart, it's in my heart, this melody of love divine. It's in my heart, since I am His and He is mine. It's in my heart, how can I help but sing and shine? It's in my heart, it's in my heart. All of us should be singing this song. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know it, sing it with me. Hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, you are holy. God bless you and may He keep you. I pray that you got something out of what I said this morning. I pray that you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, because it's in 7 and 8 that you know for sure. Because if you belong to Him, you are in the realm of salvation. You're in the family of Jesus Christ. I don't know how it can be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just know it's true. I just know that we ought to stand on God's promises and be obedient to what He said. Yes, you're going to fall, but He's already got your situation taken care of. The plan of salvation is there and it's true. And you're not going to change any of it. You cannot make a light of what God says. He says you must be born again. And the only way that you can do that is to follow the dictates of the Holy Spirit that He imputes in you. God bless you and may He keep you. Thank you, Brother Nash, for asking me to give some thoughts of your congregation and to my brothers and to my sisters. And I pray that they got something out of what I said this morning. I tried to be distinct and I've tried to be as truthful as I could possibly. If I faltered, then I ask God to forgive me. I pray that that each one of you will search your own self and see if your life corresponds with what His teaching is. See if you're going out into the highway. See if you're doing and being obedient to Him. See if you're exercising the fruits of the Spirit. That's going to make you grow. The fruits of the Spirit, you know what they're, long-suffering and all of those things. You know what they're. If you don't know what they are, look in the Scriptures and you can see what the fruits of the Spirit is. But if you exercise them in your life, I'll guarantee you God will be pleased with your service. God bless you and may keep you. Thank you so much. Give God the praise, not me, because I'm just a servant.